Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For Tom Sharpling, I'm Pat Byrne.
For Tom Sharpling, I'm Mike Lisk.
For Jason Gore, I'm Pat Byrne.
For Jason Gore, I'm Mike Lisk.
Welcome to Slice of Life, the fill-in for the best show this week. As I mentioned, my name is Pat.
And I'm Mike.
Jason Gore will be joining us a little bit later, and we'll be filling in for Tom Sharpling tonight on thebestshow.net. Give us a ring at 201-332-3484. That's 201. Dead hug. Tonight's topic is
personal mysteries. Things that baffle you. Things you'll never understand.
201-332-3484. That's 201. Dead hug.
And if no one picks up, please let it ring.
Yeah, there's no call screen tonight. We'll do our best to put you on hold as quickly as we can. If we can't, then just keep it ringing, folks. 201-332-3484. You can follow along to the hashtag SliceOfLifeShow for tonight only. And we'll go to a little bit of music and come right back. So, keep it where it is on thebestshow.net. Slice of Life, official best show fill-in. Just fine. We are joined. The circle is complete.
Circle is complete.
Jason Gore, Mike Lisk, AP Mike. We don't really say your last name a lot on Mike, but people know it if they follow you on Twitter at AP Mike.
Everybody knows.
He's Mike Lisk.
I'm not ashamed of my last name.
Right.
I'm not ducking the FBI or anything, you know.
Oh, and I think this person finally called back. This is a good time to remind people of the telephone number, and that is 201-DEAD-HUG. That spells out 201-332-3484. We're going to be doing a little thing we call Slice of Life. That's the fill-in for the best show. Tom will be back next week, we think, we hope. He's out doing the work.
He's working.
And he'll be back.
He's doing fine, everyone.
And he'll come back with, believe me, plenty of funny stories.
Oh, yeah.
Recharge.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But that was a little set of music. We heard The Dentists with Burning the Thoughts, From My Skin. That was put out by Trouble in Mind a couple years ago. We have a 7-inch single here. Our thanks to them for sending it that way. Thebestshow.net. Weirdo Shrine by La Luz was an album before that. The track we heard was You Disappear.
It's a very prove it all night feeling. When you're behind the board, Pat. I'm going to say that right now.
I go right back to that
mode. It's like I'm sitting in that studio with you.
Just haphazardly doing a million things.
Yeah.
Hardly Art put out that record by La Luz. Trouble in Mind was the first single. The artist was Negative Scanner. The track was Ambitious People. We are three ambitious people tonight waiting for your calls at 201-332-3484. We have a call on hold, but let's tell people a little bit about what we've cooked up. This is a Mike pick, tonight's topic.
Yeah, I'll just describe something. It's been ongoing. I mean, I've tweeted about it. I live on a typical city block. I'm surrounded by other apartment buildings. I live in an apartment building.
Bayonne, New Jersey. Raise a boy or a girl.
I don't know about that. But
that's the full slogan on the sign for Bayonne. A great place to raise a boy or a girl. I don't know about that.
Yeah,
They take it back at the end.
Actually, my parents didn't believe it. You know, they moved out.
They got out.
You know, when we were young. You know, you would think I would overhear a lot of stuff, and particularly in the summer. The windows are open. Everybody's windows are open. You think there'd be lots of things I'm overhearing, but you know, frankly, it's very quiet for the most part. You know, every once in a while,
idyllic.
Yeah, you're going too far to what I'm describing.
The perfect American neighborhood.
For a city environment, it's relatively quiet.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, I'll just hear this sort of, I call it a forlorn whistle.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm suspecting it's a child, but it's just, you know, it's not very joyful. I'll try and simulate it here. I'll just hear.
Take that music down.
I'll just hear. Wait, I gotta wet my whistle. I'll just hear. I was practicing this earlier.
And it's a human whistle?
Well, that's up for question. I'm not sure. Yeah, it could be human. It could be a slide whistle, but it's got this sort of haunted quality. No, it's not that. Yeah.
Is it the big windmill that you guys have?
No.
Is it the faint whir of the light rail?
No, it's definitely coming from one of the apartments.
That's Garrison Keillor territory.
Yeah. That has a different sound. It does have a sound. It's got like a buzzing sound.
Light
rail. But it's just, I think it's human, but it's similar every time I hear it. And, you know, it doesn't continue. It doesn't try to whistle a melody. It's just sort of like a couple notes.
Is it? Okay. Listen, down.
It's a personal mystery. Am I ever going to figure it out? No, I don't think I'll ever figure it out.
Does it happen in the same place in Bayonne each time?
It's coming from the same direction, yes. It's coming from a building on the side of me rather than the back. I've got windows in the back of my apartment and on the side. And it's pretty.
Like that?
Sort of like that. Just
could that just be the breeze?
No.
Are you outside when you hear it, or are you inside?
I mean, you know, I'm inside, and you know, I know what the wind sounds like when it's windy.
I'm not saying you don't.
I've heard that sound before.
Yeah.
And these are, you know, they're not particularly windy days. Like I said, I just heard it the other day. I had a window open, and I heard it, and I'm like, there the person is again.
So the next time you hear it, you're just going to be like, who is that?
No, that, you know, you can't, I've shouted
start
out.
Screaming.
I've shouted things out my window anonymously.
At the whistling?
No, not at whistling.
Okay.
You know, I've heard people doing things late in the middle of the night. And you know, I've done the anonymous shut up, where it's like shut up. you've never done that?
Oh, well,
had like something annoying going on around you, and
we have like a little courtyard in our building, like the apartments face into, and the other day it just sounded like a dog fight.
Oh wow!
And there were two dogs that were left on a balcony, and the
what?
Person just scrammed. Yeah, it sucked.
Like fell asleep, you think?
No. The people left their dog out on the balcony and then just like went to see Joker or whatever they had to do.
Oh my gosh.
And so the dogs
were
just...
They would, those sickos.
I know, yeah. It was 100% going to see Joker.
What else is there to do?
Yeah, that's the only movie playing, guys. And people were just like, shut up! Shut up!
Oh yeah.
And then, like, we have this bulletin board system, like, within the apartment building that, you know, if you have like a free IKEA couch, you post it there, and then like, oh great, I'm calling to find out more about this IKEA couch. Mm-hmm. Somebody posted about basically euthanizing dogs.
No.
And like, Jack Kevorkian can help you.
Wow.
I was like, come on, man.
Well, they probably thought they were being clever.
They weren't.
You know? Yeah, no.
I know exactly which dude this is, because I looked him up, and he was out on his balcony, and he was just completely miffed the whole time.
Yeah.
So,
But yeah, I mean, you can't take it out on the dogs. I mean, I've had instances where dogs have barked all day. You know, somebody clearly left the dog alone, and the dog was not having a good time. You know, but you know what can you do in that instance? You know, mm-hmm. you can't break in and, you know, soothe the dog down, but it's annoying,
yeah.
you know, and particularly in, you know, environments where I am, where it's, you know, everybody's right on top of each other. But that doesn't happen very often. I mean, it happened and I think somebody got clued in on it mm-hmm. and they took care of the matter. I mean, you think this instance is going to continue?
We called down front,
good.
And they came and they got
Thank
the dogs
oh, okay.
out.
Okay. So then but they know the apartment.
They know which apartment it is and everything, but then they did it the next day.
Right.
So.
They did it again.
That's
yeah.
So they're just horrible people.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a good
New York City, man. Everybody's seeing the Joker.
201-332-3484.
Yeah, that's my personal mystery.
201.
I almost went to see the Joker.
I'm not going to see that.
No, I don't really have an interest, but I...
Pat saw it.
I liked it. It's yeah. just horrifying.
You saw it because you had to become it.
Yes. I last night I was in a show called Sticker Treat, that it's people, it's comedians covering comedians in a comedic way. But, this year the Joker was popular. That's a story about a failed comedian gone psychotic. I mm-hmm. thought it was timely, so I bought an $80 cosplay suit and went to town.
Are you keeping the suit?
No, it's going on. I should have went on Craigslist today. I was just too busy. So tomorrow, actually, if anyone, no, this is great. If anyone in the Tri-State area who is listening to the show or podcast wants a Joker suit, slightly used, hit me up.
So you're putting it on Craigslist for $80.
No, I bought it for $80.
What are you looking to get out of this Joker suit?
I don't know. I'll put it up for, what do you think, 70?
What if we got some offers tonight?
Oh, that'd
201-332-3484.
201
How much would you give for a slightly worn Joker cosplay suit, worn by Pat Byrne in this year's Sticker Treat?
It's a size medium. What if I had a bumper queued up there that was like, what would you do
for a Joker cosplay costume?
Yeah, it's slightly used.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, I.
How many hours did you wear it yesterday?
I mean, less than four.
Guys, that's a good deal. That's yeah. basically a new Joker cosplay costume suit.
I'll tell you right now, it barely, like, it has a very easy to wash out,
mm-hmm.
slight coating on the collar of the green hairspray.
But see, someone's going to want to keep that, like the Kurt Cobain sweater that they never
washed. $30,000
yeah.
sweater.
They're going to want to keep that. They're going to put this in some plexiglass.
Do you know about this, Mike?
What's this?
Do you hear about this?
Do you hear about this one?
It's a 30, the sweater,
not a sweater
Cobain
the
wore
sweater.
On,
yeah, I did see that.
In the, MTV Unplugged.
Yeah. Mm.
Never washed.
Mm. It's going for, $30,000 or north of that.
The sound stage yeah. that, they did all of those unplugs on is at 54th and 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a really big fan of, Nirvana Unplugged and you want to relive every moment, hit up that CVS that's right there at 54th and 10th, because that's where it was recorded. Kiss Unplugged was also right there on that block, right in that spot where there is a CVS.
Is
now.
That where MTV plugged?
Plugged. Yeah, I don't know. Probably. Most of those were there in that studio.
You guys know the story about this, I'm sure. Like, the fact that he did it plugged was because his band was not well-versed in his songs because it was the other band.
Right.
The 1992 other band. It was only Roy Bittan that he had brought over.
Yeah.
So they couldn't, but like, why don't you just do it yourself?
Do you think they held it against Roy Bittan when they all got back together?
I had to
like earn their trust back?
I think Danny did, for sure.
Oh, 100%.
Danny Federici was probably like, huh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, known him since high school, but okay. But they did.
Yeah, no, him and, yeah, they, wasn't he involved in an infamous boat incident or? You know, wasn't there a thing where Bruce Springsteen split, flipped out over, somebody borrowed a boat or something? Like
really?
Yeah.
One of the E Street guys?
Yeah,
borrowed
yeah,
a boat?
Yeah. It was like a stupid thing.
Yeah.
But then there was all this bad blood about it, you
Love
know.
It.
Who took out my dinghy?
Yeah, I think they were like a couple of rowboats. It wasn't it was a yacht.
It was a paddle
like somebody
boat.
Borrowed his yacht, you know? But there was some
that
sort of
schooner
incident.
Wasn't supposed to go in the water, man.
maybe
that schooner's for the land.
Somebody can clarify it.
Back
to the Joker. How come that movie isn't generating like a lot of quotes? I'm not hearing like
because people just want to take pictures on the staircase in the Bronx.
Well, yeah, they keep showing that.
Yeah.
But there's no, like, quotable lines from the movie that people are...
Whoever I just put on hold that gave up, your call is second to next at 201-332-3484. We are going to jump into calls soon.
This could be a bid for your Joker suit, so we should be taking these calls.
You're right. I'm going to
You're losing money, Pat.
201-332-3484. That's Dead Hug. And Perry Schell, texting me, but give a call, whoever's out there, 332-3484. Area code 201. Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
I don't think it's quotable because it's not good.
There's no good, well-written lines that are memorable from the movie.
There's not a lot of memorable characters, but I will say it is a good film. I think Todd Phillips did a good job. I didn't enjoy it. I thought it was entertaining. And here's what I would appreciate. I think you would too. The film breathes. It's not like this fast-cutted thing. Yeah. It's like, it's an homage in that way to 70s cinema where it's just like, it actually like, there's long takes, there's long scene. Like that I appreciate more than like, you know, obviously I'm like, let's bring the murder on. There's like three murders or something. No spoilers, but, we'll go to this call. You're on Slice of Life, caller. Caller, you're on. With AP Mike, hi. Jason Gore,
oh, wow.
And Pat. Hey, can you hear
us? Is this me?
That's you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Who is this?
How much for the Joker suit?
This is Scott from Cincinnati.
Scott.
I don't think I have any advice for the Joker suit.
Yeah, you know, I might just have to eat this one. That's fine. But
I don't think you should get rid of it. I think it should just be what you wear every day now.
Well, there is an opportunity to wear it tomorrow. Clara Kane is doing her Chris Gethard Presents.
Right.
And she's doing like a Soul Train.
And she
like,
asked like, you to come dress as the
American
Joker,
Bandstand. Or are
you just going to show
up? Dance days, you can wear it.
Right, right. I'll wear it to work Thursday. Maybe tomorrow too.
I feel like
if I were to wear a Joker suit to work tomorrow, I might lose my job.
I think if anyone wore a Joker suit.
Are you a social
suit,
worker?
No.
Okay.
No,
kindergarten teacher?
Kindergarten? Yeah, let's go through the list.
No, just
nurse,
a regular
mayor,
man.
Mayor of a town.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Yeah, I think anyone that wears a Joker suit, a Joaquin Phoenix Joker suit to work in 2019 is pretty problematic, right?
Yeah, yeah. But Claire wants people to...
There's a lot of alarms there.
She wants people to show up at M&N dressed as scary, like, costume things. And I'm like, well, I definitely don't want to spray paint the hair green again. I almost puked from the smell of that. Have you ever smelled that colored hairspray? Oh, it's...
Did you ever smell that?
It's toxic.
Uh-huh.
It's horrible. But yeah. Maybe I'll pick up a wig. I really don't want to go in any more money on this Joker thing. I felt weird wearing it. Felt weird doing the voice. It was just.
You're not going to sell this Joker suit.
Oh my God.
I'm just going to let you know this
probably
right now.
I think
you are the Joker now. From now on, that is who you are.
Caller, am I the Joker now?
I feel like maybe the harder you go in, the worse it's going to be.
So if you wear it again, you're really going to start feeling comfortable in it. And you're going to become the Joker.
What if I sell it between now and tomorrow night?
It's not going to happen. Nobody's going to buy that because they want to see you become the Joker.
Who's going to buy it?
We want to see this happen.
All right. I guess I'm out.
Scott, do you have anything for personal mysteries?
I have a weird question for Mike.
Uh-oh.
Weird question for Mike.
Maybe that should be another
That's
topic.
A good segment
weird
right there.
Weird question from Mike.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like personal truth.
Okay.
I was... I know you've mentioned the author Jim Thompson before.
Yes.
And I'm a huge fan of Jim Thompson.
Oh,
I love
great.
Jim Thompson, and I love David Goodis.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to him. I've got a few of his books, but he's on my radar. I'm aware of him.
Okay. David Goodis, Jim Thompson is right up my alley. I was wondering if you had anything else you could recommend.
Well, I just read it's a few years late. Everybody, this author was sort of she was a neglected author. She wrote in the 70s and 80s, Lucia Berlin. And the name of the book is a manual for cleaning women. And it's a bunch of, she put out in her lifetime, she did publish, a few, short story collections. But they never really got a lot of attention for whatever reason. I mean, the stories are great. So this collection.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, it came out like four or five years ago. You know, I was aware of the book, but I just didn't, you know, jump on it right away. Lots of great reviews. I think it, you know, made a lot of best of the year, lists. But I finally got around to reading it, and it's fantastic. You know, it's one of the best books I've read in a long time. And then she sort of set me, now I'm going backwards. I'm rereading, Raymond Carver, who, you know, I read in the 80s when those books came out. I reread, What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. And, now that was sort of a controversy. I mean, it sort of made Raymond Carver. I mean, that was like his biggest book at the time. And then, but what happened is that then word got out that he had an editor who was very, cut a lot of his stories. And he was very unhappy with the editing on that book to the point where he wrote a letter to the letter. The editor's name was Gordon Lish. And he wrote an letter to the editor saying that he doesn't want the book published the way he edited it.
And he
was really upset about it. But you know what? The guy went ahead and did it anyway. He really basically ignored him. And then years later, they published, the unedited versions of those stories called Beginners. So now I'm going to read that, which I've never read the unedited versions of those stories, but that story collection is really worth reading. And then maybe just do what I did and read the Beginners after you read the published book. So
no, that makes sense.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Yeah. Anything else?
Another weird question for Mike Scott.
Whatever happened to Pat's documentary about dudes walking over the bridge?
There we go.
Well, I'm sorry, caller. What?
That wasn't you. I think you're confusing him with another caller.
Yes.
Is that another Pat?
Could you remind us?
Could you
specify a little
many
more?
Many years ago.
Yeah.
Like a long time ago, there was some caller that like he was talking about a documentary he was making about people walking over the bridge.
Yeah, this was you, Pat.
No.
No, I remember this.
Hold on. Going back to FMU.
Yeah.
Okay. What you're referring to, and just hang on while I put someone on hold really quick without going to
settle down.
Okay. What you're referring to is in the FMU days, a very close friend of mine, whose name is Jim, he wanted to do a thing called the Long Walk to New York, where he walked from Verona, New Jersey, over the George Washington Bridge, down to City Hall. I don't know why City Hall was the last place, but and then that was it. And the film it, and that would be a documentary. And then
that sounds great.
And he was describing it. Yeah. And
Jesus.
It makes sense.
He was describing it, and Tom, he called in to describe it more than once. And Tom's reaction, which I'll never forget, was right now I feel like I'm on the Long Walk to New York. In reference to how boring the call was.
Scott, were you hoping that was still in the works?
Well you never know. There might be outtakes out there. There might be a private YouTube video.
Yeah, no. A password-protected Vimeo.
Where is Jim today?
Yeah.
Well, Jim today...
He's still walking from Verona to City Hall.
Slowly getting there.
He's still there.
I have a genuine update about that project for you. I'm not even kidding.
Here we go.
So first of all, Jim is doing.
The fans want to know.
This is a personal mystery, Pat.
Jim is doing great. He works in health and nutrition, and he has two great kids, and he's awesome. I talk to him. Try to talk to him once a week. Still one of my best friends.
Really?
Yeah. But his younger brother, like Jim, to me was always like that, like that like genius comedic friend that you have that never went into comedy, but you're always like, that was the funniest person I ever, you know, like just the guy that's like, oh my gosh, if they would just, if they went all in on comedy, like, would we have the next Andy Kaufman
naturally
or who would,
funny people. Yeah. I know a couple guys.
But
like
funny,
that.
Strange. Like he was just like, you know, years later when stuff like, you know, Tim and Eric and Eric Andre and all these like total goofball out there shows came out, it was just like, I was like, that's Jim. Like he was just this, he would take weird stuff in high school and just spin it and like come up with these weird voices and just, I would walk home like cracking up. And a lot of it affected my sense of humor. But then his younger brother who was like, you know, in grade school when we were in high school, once he got out of high school and went to college, you know, he started following me on whatever social media was available at the time, and like
and his name was Louis C.K.
No, and I kept in touch with him. I kept in touch with this kid, and he was like, I started slowly realizing like, oh, this kid has he absorbed the same exact type of humor. And then when he graduated college, and I think this is the early .NET era, he wanted to call Tom and say, hey, I'm doing this. He actually did it. He didn't do the long walk to New York. He decided, I'm going to walk from Verona, maybe not Verona, wherever the family had moved to at that point, from North Jersey.
Montclair.
No, but like around that area, okay. You know, North Jersey area. We're going to, me and my best friend are going to walk all the way to the bottom of New Jersey on the coast. They made it. He wanted to like call into the best show on Tuesday to like update them on where they were. They were walking like pretty much the coastline from.
And they were murdered in Atlantic City.
But no one makes it past Atlantic City.
No getting around it.
No, his brother, he did try to call. It was one of those shows where we had like a million people here and packed guests. And it was just like, I felt terrible because I'm like, oh my gosh, this kid's actually trying to do this like life bit. That is a continuation, like second generation.
So in the past few years, he did this.
He tried.
Okay.
Yeah, him and his friend.
This era of the show.
Since this era.
Okay.
Of the show. I think that actually let me
get him to call.
Yeah, I'll text him as after we get off this call. I'll text him. His name is Mike.
Oh, for sure.
And he's a hilarious guy. I think he's in New Mexico now, so he'll be on a different time. Maybe it's
he'll be up.
Yeah. But he tried to do it from, I believe, starting from the top of Sandy Hook. So they were just going to try to walk the entire Jersey Shore is what it ended up becoming. But they made it pretty far. I mean, I don't think to Atlantic City, but I think they made it, like, almost to LBI or something, beyond the seaside area.
What made him stop, and how long did it take him to get there?
Blisters. He told me, like, they had horrible blisters.
They didn't look into what the correct...
I think
footwear would be.
Well, I mean, I would have done it in like a brand new pair of maybe New Balance or something, right? I don't know.
Good walking shoe.
Good walking shoe.
New Balance 993s. That's all I wear.
I have the 501s.
Yeah.
Stop my lower back pain. Uh-huh. And this isn't a spot for them. I'm just saying I used to wear.
This is a spot for Joe's New Balance outlet though.
on the wall.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling, buddy.
Thank you.
So they did it along the beach line, so did they swim some of it?
They didn't swim it, but I think that they swam, like, just to kind of cool down at parts and, then, like, enjoy the beach. Like, they slowly walked the Jersey Shore. And, this call is on air, but not, are you on?
Hello?
You're live, yes. You're on Slice of Life with, AP Mike, Jason Gore, and myself, Pat.
Amazing. This is Heather Brooklyn.
Heather, how's it going?
Hello.
Thank you.
Welcome to Slice of Life.
I have two things. I have something to do with the topic and then a gig report.
Okay, let's go for the topic first.
Okay. The mystery to me, which I know can be logically explained probably, is how tunnels are built underwater.
That's a good one.
Like for subways and stuff.
I'm always baffled by that. I have no idea. I think about that stuff sometimes.
I think about it a lot, like during like that one scene in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
I you know, I'll have to have somebody confirm, but I believe what they do is say, I'm thinking of the Hudson River. Apparently, my grandfather was part of the building of the Holland Tunnel.
Wow.
Yeah, that was one of his jobs. And
was he Irish?
Yeah, and
I'm Irish.
He drank too much and fell down some stairs. That's how. I never met my my maternal grandfather. But anyway, that was his job. Yeah. But I believe how it's done is that you begin building below the bedrock. So you have to go deeper than the bottom of the river you're going to cross. I don't know how deep that has to be. So, you know, the ceiling won't cave in, but I'm sure engineers are aware of what they have to do to do that. I think that's the answer to that.
Yeah, if we could get an engineer on the line, that'd be great. 201-332-3484.
I mean,
that puzzle. Something that I could easily look up, but just in my mind, I just don't understand.
Yeah, okay. But think about it. You're not, the tunnel isn't going through water. It's underneath the water.
Right.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not like suspended in the middle of the river, you know, with water surrounding this concrete enclosure. So I'm pretty sure that's how it's done.
Oh, I just think of it all just caving in one day.
Well, of course, yeah.
Well, I mean, they're very old tunnels.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I think about that every time I drive through it. Because it's these, I mean, sure, they're keeping up with maintenance, but...
Which tunnel are you frightened of. Concerned with? Yeah. Is it the Holland or...
There's one in London.
Oh, okay.
That is by the Queen Elizabeth Bridge that kind of goes under the Thames, which is the river that goes through London. Uh-huh. And I used to drive through that a lot when I lived there, and I would always think about it. And
oh, yeah, that one would scare me. Because
that's
going to go
far under.
What about the tunnel?
That's what I was just going to say.
Oh, okay, that's long, isn't it?
Being on the train goes under it.
Right.
Which I guess is just the same as
the path.
Tunnel's fairly new, though, right?
You're right, but
they did a good job.
It's long. You're down there a long time, right?
Yeah.
I'm less worried about that thing caving in than I am about the Holland Tunnel or the Lincoln. We need more tunnels.
How about that Sylvester Stallone movie where they're in the Holland, but for some reason it has four lanes, which I wish it did.
I know. That was such a big tunnel.
Yeah. It was way too big.
Aspirational.
What was that movie?
What was the? Hey, I'll have to look it up.
Hold on.
I think the Lincoln Tunnel is older than the...
Something simple, one word, I think.
The Holland Tunnel, right?
Fall. What?
I think the Lincoln's older than the Holland.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to point
something
out
to
that
Google.
That I use Bing actually. I looked up what I internet searched was Stallone Holland Tunnel.
Okay. And what's the name of the movie?
We were right. You were close. It's one word. What did you guess?
I said deeper.
Right letter. What's your one word guess?
Fist.
Caller. What's your one word guess?
Fist.
Is that the name of the
movie?
I'm moving on. It's fist.
Caller. What do you think one word name for the Stallone Holland Tunnel movie?
Google it.
Oh my god, I can't Google it. I'm on the phone. I feel like you would.
I know what it was. I remember now. It makes sense.
Let's say it on the count of three. One, two, three.
Deeper.
Daylight.
Oh.
You said I already said it wasn't deep.
Oh.
No, I knew it was daylight. Okay. I just felt like saying deeper again.
Daylight.
We're a comedy show, guys.
Okay.
Keep that up. And you said you had another update?
Yeah, it's actually not technically like a gig report. It's a preemptive one, but it's worth talking about. On Halloween night, on Thursday, in Queens, I'm going to see The Makeup and Protex, which I think is going to be really good.
Very cool. Where are they playing?
The Knockdown Center in Queens.
Okay. They're actually not. I'm sorry to break this to you over a radio show, but they're, sorry, caller, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I just had to put somebody on hold and I lost you for a second. Okay. Protex, according to, my friend Dave Feldman, who was opening for them in the band Wildlife, he posted this morning, a screenshot of their, we apologize, we can't make the tour.
No!
Their visas at the last second were not approved. And they said time was not on our side. We tried everything to make this happen. Their visas weren't approved, and I think a lot of the Protex shows are going to be rescheduled.
Well, I was more looking forward to seeing The Makeup because I saw them when they got back together in 2017. But the following day, at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm speaking at a conference and I'm delivering a paper on punk in Northern Ireland in the '70s and '80s and '90s, and the title of the paper is a Protest lyric, so I was really hoping to go and see them.
You're going to have to change it now. Well, you can't use that one there when they're not here.
I don't want to speak. I mean, check their social media, because, I mean, this was a screenshot.
Yeah,
of,
Pat could be making all of this up.
I'm not making it up, but I'm telling you what I heard.
Well,
this is from
seeing
from a friend who was opening, but...
You're probably right. That's unfortunate.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Heather.
Thank you.
No problem.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, if she can make it to Staten Island by Thursday.
Nobody's going to make it to Staten Island
Blue
by
Oyster
Thursday.
Cult and UFO.
What?
UFO are playing.
UFO?
Yeah.
Wow.
You're on Slice of Life with
That's
AP Mike.
That's a show right there.
How many
original members of Blue Oyster Cult are still in the band? It's probably all of them.
I saw Blue Oyster Cult at a show down in Lakewood. They used to have summer shows at the Blue Claws minor league baseball stadium in Lakewood, New Jersey.
Sorry, caller. Hold on. We're talking about Blue Oyster Cult.
Sure.
They were great, you know. But I'm not familiar with UFO. But I know people have a fondness.
Yeah, people like UFO.
UFO. What is your big hit?
I kind of feel like if you're a member of Blue Oyster Cult, it's a deal so sweet you just don't leave. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a UFO hit.
Oh, okay.
I can't. But apparently it's probably just like one person, one original member of Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah, you think so?
I'm going to say there are at least
their
two.
Kids or their cousins?
No, it's just hired hands. It's like people that used to play for like Trickster or Faster Pussycat.
And wasn't
filling in?
Wasn't there a relationship between one of the members and Howard Stern? Were they cousin?
Stern played bass in Blue Oyster Cult for 3 years.
Yeah,
like, I think, what am I doing? I don't even know how to do this. I'm doing it. I'm doing it, Robin.
Why didn't you do that for Snicker Treat
next year?
There you go.
Yeah, I think it was Howard Stern's cousin. There's some family relationship there.
Interesting.
We are seconds from probably getting hung up on.
Yeah, I know. Welcome to Slice of Life. Who do we have?
Hi. Am I being screened or am I just on the air?
You're on the air. There's no screening during Slice of Life.
Hold on, I'm going to patch it through right now. Hold on a second.
Yeah, we're putting you right over to the guys. Hey, Slice of Life. How's it going? Who do we got on the line?
Oh, hi. This is Marin in Nashville.
Marin in Nashville. How are you?
Welcome to the program.
I'm good. I think this is the third week in a row of Slice of Life.
Yes,
it is.
It will actually be the final one. We think Tom will be back next week. Depending on his work schedule, he should be back here in New Jersey.
Okay. I wasn't able to tune in for a while, and I didn't know what was going on, but I wondered.
No worries. Tonight we're talking about personal mysteries, if you have any of those.
Mysteries, yeah.
I think our personal mystery was, where's Tom?
Yes.
I thought it was... That was one of them.
Yeah.
I had another one.
Okay.
And I have always been mystified by the way that cats have stripes that are so perfectly patterned on their fur. I never was able to understand. How does it do that? How does it make the cool patterns on the fur?
They have better pattern action going on than a dog. I'm a dog person, but I'll give this one to cats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've got a lot of great patterns going on. Mike?
Yeah, they have the M on the face particularly is always just so interesting.
And, I mean, you look at the, tigers and, the other evolutionary cats, I guess.
Evolutionary cats has never been said on the best show. It's only said on Slice of Life.
I think it's the next time we do a film.
Yeah.
That's the new name.
Go back in the evolution of cats.
I'm pretty sure that's a prog band from Mexico or something.
But they all have it too. I think here's mine. I'm just going to throw it out there. And I've seen enough animal documentaries to think that it has something to do with, not that they have that many predators, but that, it's sort of, they don't want to be seen when they're stalking their prey.
It's like a mountain lion, hiding in the rocks.
They have fur that will suit the environment where they're going to do their hunting. We're far away from that now in evolution, but I think that's where it comes from. And you see this all in a lot in nature, where animals can blend into the scenery so that they can stalk their prey. It all has to do with killing other animals.
That's pretty good.
That's my theory.
I like that.
Okay.
I suppose there's other animals, too, that have patterns, not just cats.
Oh, yeah. And the animals that are stalked and eaten, they have their own things to blend in so that they don't get eaten. You know, so
it's survival.
It's a two-way street.
It's a double-edged sword.
I'll tell you what. When I came to Slice of Life tonight, did I think we would talk about cat fur? No. But that's what we talk about on Slice of Life. We'll talk about anything,
we're
man.
All over the place. Have you seen Planet Earth, the documentary?
I've seen some of it, yeah.
All right. Delve into that. I think that'll clear up a lot of your questions.
Is that Ken Burns?
No.
It might as well be.
I just know
it's someone with the same haircut, probably.
There'd be more.
There were two versions, right? Wasn't Richard Attenborough?
Richard Attenborough did a cover show.
Yeah, BBC. The BBC did it.
And Ken Burns did like a cover of the Planet Earth.
Yeah, the Ken Burns cover of the Planet Earth documentary series, so good. Peter Coyote reads all about it on that one too.
It's called Earth, the documentary.
Yeah. Ken Burns Earth.
Actually, no. For some reason, it's just called Baseball.
Yeah.
No, Ken Burns needs lots of photographs and a narrator.
Baseball so, 2, Earth.
To get his things going. He's not out there with animals, particularly animals that can eat him. So, no, Ken Burns. There was an American version, right, where Susan Sarandon did the narration rather than Richard Attenborough.
Susan Sarandon on for what, Earth?
They did a Earth. Is it called Earth or Planet Earth? I thought it was Planet Earth.
I think it's Planet Earth, but yeah, I do remember Susan Sarandon being on it. New Jersey's Susan Sarandon.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, we got two calls.
Well, thank you so much for the call. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks.
Some Skittles.
All right. Hello. You're on Slice of Life.
Slice of Life.
Yeah, Slice of Life tonight. Tom is out. He'll be back next week.
Get some attitude.
Yeah, who's this guy?
This guy.
Coming in tough.
Yeah, tough guy.
Cracking open some beers in the background. He's like
a tough guy from the street.
Closed down the bar. Nobody came in tonight.
What you got for us, tough guy?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just calling in. I wanted to talk to Tom, and I didn't know what the topic was, so I just called the number.
Well, you got Mike, Jason, and Pat.
You don't got Tom, tough guy.
Mike, Jason Gore, and Pat. You got it all there?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Mike from North Carolina. How's it going?
Where are you in North Carolina, Mike?
I am in Salisbury, which is north of Charlotte and south of Greensboro.
Know it very well. I used to drive through there whenever I'd go see a show in Charlotte when I'd drive down from Radford, West Virginia.
I like your steaks.
Yeah, home of?
I guess they call it the Piedmont or the Triad area.
You're a little south of Statesville.
Yep.
With its Logan's
Room. A little bit west of me, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Home of the great dive bar, The Well.
Right. Is it in Statesville?
Or
in Salisbury?
Sounds
the
it
well,
no.
The well in Bayonne.
The dive dive bar in Salisbury is called the Carriage Room.
Oh, I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, it's a weird name, and guess what? No, you don't want to go there. Nobody wants to go there.
Yeah.
Explain, like, if you went into the carriage, what's it called again?
The Carriage Room.
The Carriage Room. Like, what type of food are they cooking in the Carriage Room?
Do they even have food?
Well, first of all, if you order a beer, it's dirty. The bottle is dirty.
Hell yeah.
So the actual bottle has dirt on it.
So bring a straw. Got it.
And if you get a draft, then it's even worse.
Full of rocks.
There's stuff floating in the beer.
Oh, that's so good.
You'll probably just get a draft sitting by near a window in that place, right?
There's no windows in that place.
No windows.
Okay, so you won't get a draft.
Yeah, I'm not going to that place. And it's still open?
It's still open.
How much Jethro Tull do they have on the jukebox?
I'm sorry?
How much Jethro Tull do they have on the jukebox?
Plenty. I mean, pretty much all you can handle.
Good. Good.
It is kind of like a biker bar, but yeah, there's plenty of Jethro on the juke.
Yeah. Every dive bar I've ever been in, they've got some Jethro on the juke. You can't really be a dive bar unless you've got, like, Classic Masters or something on there.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, yeah. So you never know. You could be drinking a beer with stuff floating in it, and you got flute music going on in the background.
It's good. It's real good. So how? What's going on in Salisbury, North Carolina tonight?
Not a lot. I mean, I was just watching the baseball game, and I was just kind of wondering, when do I get a chance to boo the president?
Well, I don't think he's ever going back to one of those. I think that's done. That ship sailed.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I think it's going to be very hard to get him to go to any event that isn't it. Like a MAGA rally.
But he's only got, to his saving grace, he's only got one more game left. Or maybe this may be the last game, right? What's the score? You got a score for us?
Well, that's too bad.
Do you have a score for us, caller?
It's 2-2.
2-2.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's really anyone's game.
Still a game. What any?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, you know what? Yeah, sorry. It just became 3-2.
Ah, 3-2. Well, it's over.
So who's winning?
Caps. Yeah. Caps are up 3-2.
Really?
Take me. Come on, caller. Take me out.
The Caps.
So, Dudio, you're from Caps. West Virginia or...
You mean the Nationals,
Virginia.
Right?
It's either the Nats.
Can anybody clear that up?
Or
where
Astros.
Where I'm from? Well, I'm
I mean,
from
Tom
a part
always
of...
always says that you're from Western Virginia or...
I'm from Southwest Virginia. Southwest Virginia, the southwest corner of Virginia. So, Radford, specifically. A lot of a lot of Caps baseball fans there.
And he's sure. He's the raddest West, from Radford.
Cousin is a Radford... alumni, yep.
Nice.
I know that area. Clater Lake.
Oh, yeah, Clater Lake.
Hungry Mother State Park.
Hungry Mother, that's a little south. They have a lot of, they've got a lot of water moccasin problems there. I remember hearing that as a child, and every time I would drive by it, I'm like, the snake. Like, I'm not getting in that lake. It's full of water moccasins.
Okay. I wouldn't even.
I think I just completely ruined all the tourism for Hungry Mother Lake. But hey, that's what I heard, and you know, I haven't been bitten by a water moccasin because I haven't been there. So there you go.
Fantastic.
Great. Well, thank you for calling.
Buy me some peanut. Come on, caller. Buy me some peanuts.
Buy me some peanuts and coconuts.
Yo, they hung up. Darn it, caller. You're on the air.
Caps are up by
really?
3.
Caps, yeah.
Yep. Caps are winning this one.
The Captain Americas are winning this
Capitals,
one.
Capitals, yeah, the hockey team.
I've heard that you needed some Washington, D.C. help or something.
Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
We needed tunnel help. Are you an engineer?
Tunnel help?
Yeah.
I'm not, but I know tunnel.
All right, so who is this and where are you from? He knows a tunnel personally.
Ed from Alameda.
Ed from Alameda, what's going on tonight? You got one for the topic?
Sort of. I had a spooky story to tell you.
Let's do it. Mike lives for spooky stories. That basically
Halloween
living in Bayonne.
Is coming up, yeah.
It's all spooky stories in Bayonne.
Well, this is a real life spooky story.
Okay.
To tell it, though, I might have to disguise my voice a little bit.
We already know who you are, though.
Really?
I'll try to put you in reverb, but it might take a few minutes.
No, don't. That'll change everything.
Okay, well.
Okay, so the floor is yours. You got you got some spooky time for your spooky story on Slice of Life.
Actually, the spooky... Oh, let me go ahead and switch.
Jump ahead if there's water moccasins.
Yeah, are there any water moccasins in this story? Because I got to tell you, I'm not into that.
Nope. There will be some in my nightmares.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to say, stay away from that. That's my warning.
No moccasins. Okay, no snakes. There's a machete. There's a corpse. Lots of corpses. It's a true story, I swear to God.
Okay, and the floor is yours.
Took place in Washington, D.C. years and years ago. 6 years ago? I was employed. Who?
You're saying this happened 6 years ago?
Yep.
Okay.
The job I had.
That's not that long ago.
It's 2013, and that was a scary year.
Yeah, so. It was right before my daughter was born, so my wife was very pregnant, and, you know.
It was a night like any other.
I was,
The car pulled into Hungry Mother State Park.
Story, but it's just kind of a general job I was doing in Washington at the time.
Okay.
I was an archaeologist, but not the fancy kind.
The Dr. Jones kind.
Yeah, not that kind.
Okay, so no adventure.
Well, sort of, but not...
Can I pause you for a second, caller?
Sure.
Can I give you a little bit of bed music to spice this up a little bit, to make it extra spooky?
Absolutely. As long as it's...
Can you do Baby Elephant Walk?
I'll do that next.
Monster Mash?
Hold on, I have one.
Well, how about Monster Swim? Did you know there was a sequel to Monster Mash called The Monster Swim?
So, caller, when you hear the music start, I just want you to restart the story with "What if I told you?"
And we're gonna leave you alone. We're gonna back off, and we're gonna let you tell the story.
We're gonna back off. All you have to do is start. Wait for the music to start. Give it like 3 seconds, and then start with "What if I told you?" .. Okay, just start with
can
that. Start with that line.
Can I use my Dracula voice?
It's your call. We're gonna disappear. All right.
You were.
When you hear the music, caller, ready?
I was going to use a Dracula voice.
Caller, here we go. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Wow.
It was a hot, hot summer indeed. Home Depot on the corner of Rhode Island Avenue and 11th. A non-profit was constructing a nursing home, but regulations got in the way.
Baby Elephant Walk?
In the 1900s, no, before that, 1800s, the land where the Home Depot sat was a cemetery. Hello?
Okay.
No, keep going. The music's still playing. We just pulled it out of the phone.
It might switch.
And if you could pick up the pace.
Gotcha. I was tasked with moving a corner of the cemetery into plastic bin that we got from Home Depot. So I spent the entire summer digging up corpses and putting the remains of around
horrifying
several, at least more than 200 individuals into, the black crates with the yellow tops.
Just get home. So you did that all summer.
Questions?
I mean, there probably wasn't much left of the bodies, right? It was just bones.
It depends. There was a wide range.
Go into detail, caller.
Okay, one. Now is when I should probably change my voice. I no longer work for this company. But, and this is all public record by now, I think. Anyway, one individual was in a cast iron coffin. He was preserved very well, but the rest had been buried in, either wooden box. Oftentimes, you would have a wooden coffin with a glass faceplate so you could see the for fun,
201-332-3484 is the number. Your call will be next.
What is the most outstanding, I guess, you know, certain images must stay with you from that time. Is there a particular image that has haunted you from that task?
Mm-hmm.
And what is that?
Well, several, but yeah.
Okay, what are the most memorable sights you saw?
Right in the middle of the area, there was a, when we first started excavating, it appeared to be another grave. You know, you see an outline in the soil and come down and then eventually see what's left. Mind you, excavating a grave that old, everything has been smashed to about the thickness of, anywhere from a couple inches to...
Oh, they hung up. They hung up. Please call back. Your call will be next. Oh, brother. Your call will be next. Please call us back.
And I worked for Kmart.
I was waiting for anyone else to call.
And behind the Kmart was a lot that I had to excavate.
Man, baby elephant walk couldn't save that. It did for like 10 seconds.
I should change my voice because I don't want anyone to know that I worked for Kmart.
That made me very happy for 10 seconds, baby elephant walk.
So it did. It really worked. And yeah, that's probably my favorite Halloween song. But no, as I was saying, Mike, there is a sequel. Bobby Boris Pickett had a sequel song to...
He had several. He had a whole album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But one was Monster Swim.
Okay.
Yeah.
He kept trying to go back to the well, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that there
it didn't work.
Can you play just a little bit of Monster Swim?
I think it's on Spotify, actually.
Yeah, it's got to be on Spotify.
Please call back, caller. Your call will be patched right away. Oh, here they are. You're on Slice of Life while I queue up Barry Boris Pickett.
I don't think he's Barry.
I think your things are down.
Caller, who do we have? Now you're on live. Where are you calling from?
This is Marty from Rockland County.
Rockland County.
What's going on, Marty?
Not too much, guys.
You ever dig up a body for Home Depot?
No, sir, nothing like that.
Okay, good.
How's it going, guys? I got a personal mystery for you and a question for Mike, actually.
Okay.
Is it a weird question for Mike?
No, it's in Mike's wheelhouse, let's say.
So it's a weird question for Mike. Okay, so let's go with your personal mystery first.
Yeah. So, I just moved, back from living upstate New York there. And I had, you know, small, kind of awful apartment, but we made it work. And one of the weird quirks of this apartment was there was an attic that was accessible through a very skinny, precarious stairwell in the kitchen. You following me? Mm-hmm. So it kind of went up into a hatch situation. That you kind of pushed open. It was very difficult to access, and it was very kind of gross and dingy and moldy up there just for storage. And one morning, actually, I woke up. Me and my buddy, my roommate at the time, had been under a little bit of a bender, not to brag, the night previous. And we wake up, and I'm in the kitchen cooking breakfast, and he comes in, and he points to the hatch above the stairwell, and it's wide open. And we kept that thing closed. I mean, we had no reason to go up there.
Oh, man.
And he goes, hey, why'd you go up in the attic last night? And I'm thinking, and I tell him that I'm thinking, why did you go up in the attic last night? Because I have no memory of going up there, and I mean, we had partied, but it wasn't nothing too crazy, you know. Mm-hmm. So now we're both convinced that the other person had either went up there and not remembered, or sleepwalked up there, but to sleepwalk up there, such precarious, I can't stress enough how precarious and skinny and, quite frankly, dangerous the stairwell was. So now we're both convinced that, you know, it was the other guy who's either BSing the other, or, you know, we don't know. Or it was a quite paranormal experience. We're not quite sure. But
so you don't know exactly what happened that night?
Yeah, we have no idea. I swear it wasn't me. He swears it wasn't him. I'd slept walked before, but again, how could I have accessed that hatch that, again, we never go up into?
I mean, you must have went up to see if anybody else was up there, right?
Maybe. Well, have you ever heard those stories where someone finds someone, like, living in a crawl space, you know? Have you ever heard those?
Hider in the House.
Well, yeah.
That Gary Busey movie. Like
Bad Ronald.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But you had to go up there to close the hatch at least, right? To look around. So maybe you could have solved the mystery by seeing if anybody's up there.
Well, we did, yeah. I went up there and closed it and nobody was up there.
Oh,
but
nobody was up there.
The mystery was more, you know. Okay.
Who opened the door?
If both of us swear that it was neither of us,
okay.
How did that thing get opened?
Yeah, it's a mystery. You got a mystery.
It's a mystery, you know. Uh-huh.
What's your weird question?
Weird
I think it's
Mike.
A perfectly normal, maybe a little egghead of a question. By the way, first time caller, long time listener to the best show. It's great to be on. But Mike, this is maybe 2 years back when I first started listening to the show, and Tom had a cast aside. You know, he digs into you. Perhaps unfairly sometimes. I'm Team Mike all the way, buddy.
Okay.
But,
I don't know how I like this. I don't know how this is going.
All right.
I might step out for this
one. Let's get Team Mike trending. Let's get Team Mike trending on Twitter. Yeah. That'll make my night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to divide Friends of Tom into factions or anything, but...
too late for that.
Yeah.
Well... He had some cast-aside line that was, he referenced you, he was saying, like, I'm not going to do a Tom impression, I'm not going to insult the man we all miss being on the show, but he said something like, Mike's probably over there going on and on about some William T. Vollman novel. And
uh-huh.
I am a huge fan uh-huh. of Billy Vol, and it was just such an out of nowhere referencing.
Yeah,
this is the second weird question that involves an author.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But
anyway, I would say about 85% of what Tom refers to me is pure fiction. But
okay.
You know, he's sort of in the ballpark. Actually, I've got a few of his books. But I've never read any of them, you know.
Oh, really?
I've heard good things about the Rainbow Stories.
Yeah, man.
What is your favorite book by him?
I mean, I really love The Royal Family. That's a long, upsetting book. But if you want something a little bit shorter, The Atlas is definitely the way to go. Or even shorter than that, Mike.
What's the one about Europe? I mean, that won an award, I think, right?
Yeah, Europe Central won the National Book Award for
right,
sure.
Yeah. I have that. I have the Rainbow Stories. I have the condensed version. He wrote that, what was it, like a multi-volume thing about violence?
Yeah, Rising Up and Rising Down. Right. I don't want to alienate everybody, all the listeners.
No, but I think Tom must have came across his name recently, so he just threw it out there. You know,
yeah.
So he wasn't quite on the mark, but you know he was in the vicinity. So a lot of his things are like that.
Okay, yeah. I just want some clarity about that.
Yeah.
It was such a bizarrely specific reference.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you should definitely pursue it, man. I mean, I'm outing myself as a bit of an egghead myself,
No, I've had lots of people recommend him to me. I've read magazine articles. He just wrote a magazine article for Harper's about immigration. So, you know, I've read different things. He's got a weird history, right? Didn't he? He was sort of implicated in his sister's drowning or something. What's the background story?
So that story goes where he was a kid. I mean, I don't want to talk out of school here, but as a kid, he maybe was in charge of looking after his sister while she was swimming, and then that tragedy occurred, and he blamed himself. But
no, he sort of had a sort of interesting life. I mean, he's written quite a bit. He's a little creepy, though. He's one of these sex tourists, though, right?
There's some.
I mean, I think it's fair. I mean, he's written about it. You know, I don't think it's unfair to characterize him as one of these types of guys.
Certainly not, yeah.
Yeah, but so there's a little creepy factor there, but I'll check him out at some point.
Yeah, I mean, the creep factor is all from a compassionate vantage, I would say. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's all I got, guys.
Great. Okay. Thank you for the call.
Yes, thank you.
Have a good one.
Now, I have on the hotline the second generation Long Walk to New York, the man who actually did the New Jersey version of the Long Walk.
How is there not a Springsteen song about this? Is he aware?
There should be a Springsteen song about
this. But he didn't finish the walk. You know?
That's even better, for the Springsteen
guys,
song.
Guys, let me introduce him first, okay?
Okay.
I'm not
Bruce Springsteen.
No, this isn't Bruce Springsteen. I won't, for your privacy, I won't say your last name, but.
Springsteen.
No, it's not Springsteen. This is my friend Mike, brother of Jim, who I mentioned earlier in the show. He is of the same family. He is the younger brother of my best friend who actually did try to do a long version of a walk a few years ago, and this was from, correct me if I'm wrong, down the Jersey Shore coast. We have Mike on the line. Are you there, Mike?
Bingo.
Well, welcome to the program. This is Slice of Life, the official fill-in for the best show this week. You're on with me, Pat, who you know, and Jason Gore and Mike Lisk.
Hey there.
Hey. So is that right? You guys tried to do this down New Jersey on the New Jersey shore coast, or was it higher than that? Where did you start?
That's right. Well, we took a ferry from Wall Street to the northernmost shore point,
which was Sandy Hook, right?
Mm-hmm. And made it all the way to Lacey Township. Beautiful Lacey Township.
I gotta look this up.
Where's Lacey?
Near Forked River.
Near Forked River, yeah.
Now, was this all done in a day, or did you actually stay somewhere and try to keep going?
We walked about 25 miles for 3 days straight. We slept on a friend's deck in Seaside.
I'm not impressed.
Mike, they walked
Pat's looking at me like they did some amazing. People walk the Appalachian Trail.
Mike,
people
they
walk across the country.
What did you do? What did you do this week? You went bowling with me.
But look, as far as walking achievements go,
Mike,
this doesn't rate up there.
This guy walked for 3 days.
3 days. Wow. Okay. Good for him.
Yeah.
You know,
it is good for me. Thank you very much.
But you got blisters. You had the wrong footwear, apparently.
Well, let him tell the story. He just called.
I gotta say, I did not picture this going this way, guys.
Yeah, well, I didn't either. I didn't know my co-host was a bully. I apologize, Mike.
I mean, you know.
Oh, man, I'm loving every second of this.
The wonder you gave me, and it's like, come on, I'm just being real. I mean,
So I'm going down to Jersey Shore.
Some people walk across the country.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, buddy.
Yeah.
Have you ever walked for 3 days straight down the Jersey Shore?
This is Mike versus Mike. It's a new show. Right,
but I never set that as a goal. I think I could do it.
Well, that's your first problem.
So I'm looking at a map, guys. Are we below East Long Branch? Or keep going?
Yeah, further. It's further south.
Okay.
It's south of Toms River.
I'm kind of thinking this is...
I genuinely said wow and looked at you with wide eyes because I was impressed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that they did 3 days. I thought that they maybe gave up after a day and a half. That was me learning something new, and my genuine reaction was being impressed. So, Mike, I'll say your last initial, Mike B. Please continue.
It was south of Toms River. I'm impressed.
Yeah, thanks, Jason.
That's a long walk,
yeah,
Mike.
I think
I'm not saying it's a long walk, but you know, you've heard of these people who've walked cross country.
We're not saying that's what
the Appalachian Trail.
No one's saying this caller.
Yeah, but that
the double amputees have walked cross country,
Mike.
I mean, give me something that'll really knock me out.
Okay,
did you get past Harvey Cedars?
I mean, they were trying to get to South Jersey. They didn't make it to the end, right?
Mike, I mean, they made pretty close to the end. Like, they'd have to take another ferry.
I got an idea. How about we let this caller who called from New Mexico tell the story? Can we let him tell it? Mike,
I'm just going to say I am impressed.
Thank you. It was a day
Mike,
like it,
Mike B. Thank you.
I'm going to turn everyone's well, mic off. So it's
three,
gonna,
yeah, three against one.
So, Mike B. It was a day like any other. You guys decided to do this on a whim. Go ahead. Tell it from the beginning.
Yeah. Okay. So we started downtown Manhattan. We had backpacks filled with almonds and water and a little bit of sunblock. And we started from the Highlands, Sandy Hook, went down to Point Pleasant. And then the third day we made it to Lacey Township with bloody feet. And we were really sore. We had Route 35 mania. But luckily...
What's that?
That's when you walk down Route 35 for the whole day, and you just lose it. It's a Route 35 specific problem, which you would know if you tried to walk down the Jersey Shore, other Mike.
No, I know where Route 35 is. I've driven it many times.
But see, you've driven it.
I see people walking alongside.
Yeah, but have you walked it?
Yeah, the key word is driven.
Most people, you know, wouldn't walk along Route 35. Did you map out this route? I mean, did you? What sort of forethought went into it? Not much, I guess, in a way of footwear, apparently.
What footwear were you wearing?
I was wearing a pair of New Balance shoes.
Oh, see? You had the right footwear.
Yeah, you had the right footwear. How new were they, Mike?
We did have the right footwear.
How new were
they? They were actually from Jim B.
Oh, okay.
They were about 6 months old.
No, that's fair.
How about the socks?
Yeah. No socks.
No socks. Well, that's where you went wrong.
No, I was wearing socks. Come on. We're wearing socks, all right?
Mm-hmm. So when you sort of look back on this event and how it went wrong, what was your analysis? What did it come to?
I don't think it went wrong.
Okay.
We won first place.
First place.
Who else tried to do this?
Have you ever thought about going back to Lacey Township and just finishing it from there?
I like that they won first.
I'm moving to Lacey Township, actually.
You're moving to Lacey Township?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's great. I hear it's a great place to live.
I have relatives there.
Beautiful this time of year. But so, Mike B., I just want to go back to this tale. You're walking it. What time of year was it? How bad was the heat? Did you guys ever take breaks to swim in the ocean? Tell us the scene.
Sightsee.
How much were you just sticking to the course? The mission is walking. We're going to walk it. Paint us the whole picture.
Okay. Yeah. So there were three of us. And, by the time we got to Seaside, the third gentleman was, broken down, so he left. He took a train to Philadelphia to visit some people.
Wow.
So me and my friend Tom, we continued on. So it was the summer. It was really, really hot. It was in the upper 90s, really high humidity.
That's intense.
It was intense. Thank you.
I walked from Belmar to Asbury Park when I was a kid. You know, I don't go around bragging about, like,
that's,
you know,
two-town distance.
Yeah, but I mean...
Who's saying that, Mike?
But I mean...
And you could stay on the boardwalk the entire time.
I was a kid, yeah. But I was like, you know, in the annals of long walks...
Okay, well, that's 3 hours versus 3 days, so...
Well, I could have kept going.
Is that Mike talking right now?
I could have kept going.
That's other Mike, yeah. He's now referred to other Mike.
Mike versus Mike.
Here we go, round two. Ding, ding, I'm the bell.
Used to ride our bikes from Howell to Manasquan every summer, you know?
Wow.
That was a nice trip. I don't go around bragging about it, you know? I mean, this guy walked for 3 days. Good for him.
Mike,
it was a long weekend, and he spent most of it walking.
Mike B., I didn't know you were going to be attacked, so I wouldn't have told you to call. I haven't talked to you in a long time. I didn't expect it to go this way.
No, I'm happy to defend the title.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you are too.
Did you ever go to the Delaware Water Gap and walk up, what do they call it, to Sunfish Pond?
No.
It's a long walk. It's uphill. I don't brag about it.
So walking back is the easier part. But no, so you made it to Lacey. what was going through your mind at that point? What, did you want to continue? Did one of you want to? The other one talked the sense into the other? Were you both on the same page? Paint us the end.
Okay. Yeah. So the end was on the side of a highway in Lacey Township. I had sunblock running into my eyes. I could barely see. My friend Tom looked at me and I looked at him and we said, it's done. So we went to a motel that had a mirror on the ceiling. It was very classy. And
do you remember the name of the motel?
I don't remember the name. But they didn't have any food or drinks, so we ordered delivery. I think I ordered a lava cake and a bottle of water.
Smart.
And then we watched Finding Nemo and got very emotional from the physical exertion.
Wow.
In the past 3 days. And then we took a bus from Tom's River back to the city. That was it. But I think we are going to do the long walk, revisited, sometime soon.
Part due.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I got a text message, other Mike, from Mike B's brother, Jim B, who is my best friend. And
we get it, Pat. You have a best friend. You've said this like 8 times.
And he said, Mike 2 is going down. He said, tell him that I said that over the radio.
Well, when you start this second walk, I think you should notify the local media, because I'm sure they're all going to want to follow your 3-day trek. They'll have all their coverage out on the road wherever you go.
Well, that's what we actually...
teams of reporters.
We actually tried to do that when we were talking about press when Jim B and I originally planned this out in high school. We wanted to contact News 12 and all the local affiliates,
But you've heard of these other long walks, right?
Hold on. I think Mike versus Mike round 3 is about to commence. Floor is yours, Mike B.
But
hey, listen, Mike. I'm calling you out.
All right.
Are you going to come on the walk with us?
Oh, there it is.
It doesn't interest me enough to spend 3 days.
What would make it interesting?
If we walked across the country, do something major, like that it's like a once in a lifetime thing. You can walk for 3 days any weekend, right?
Well, not really. I mean, you'd have to take Friday off.
Yeah,
exactly.
Or Monday.
At least.
So it's got to be something that's really going to be, a big investment of your time, something that is, not done very often. I mean, people
very high standards, Other Mike.
Well,
have you walked across New Mexico? I mean, you're just there.
He just got there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I walked here, from New Jersey.
Good.
From Lacey, actually.
I mean, I...
From Lacey, yeah.
People,
it went straight from the motel to here. That's how my life has happened.
Have you heard of, the Appalachian Trail? People do long walks along that? Goes through several
states?
Never heard of it? Okay.
So on your next...
Here's something might be a selling point. You don't have to walk along Route 35. It's nature. You're out in nature, and it's... sort of requires a fair amount of preparation.
Mike B, what was the strangest thing that, did anybody yell at you guys when, from a car when you were just walking along, or did you run into crazed people?
Well,
the scene.
Unlike Other Mike here, people were pretty supportive. Yeah, people were cheering us on from the street. We did talk to a reporter.
What, did you have a sign on your
hold on, he
something?
Talked to a reporter. He's bursting your bubble. Tell us about the local news.
Channel 12, it had to be.
I bet it was Sandy Kenyon.
I don't remember what town it was. I think it was near Sandy Hook, but we did talk
Sandy
to
just started.
Briefly.
And how did that come about? How did they hear of you?
We just saw him walking down the street, and I think it's because we had backpacks on. People saw us with the backpacks, and they were like, "What are these guys doing?" So we talked about the long walk to a lot of people.
Did you walk through the nude beach at Sandy Hook?
Did we walk through the what?
The nude beach. There's a nude beach at Sandy Hook.
Gunnison Beach.
Oh, I don't remember.
Wow.
I don't remember.
Well, I think you'd remember
Gunnison. Yeah, I think you'd remember.
Well, we're talking 90-degree heat strokes.
Uh-huh. That's right.
This guy walked for 3 days in 90-degree sun.
Yeah.
Give him some credit. Please, 201-332-3.
I'm all for it. I think you did a great job, and I can't wait for the next long walk, and then when you give up on that one and go to a motel and watch Finding Dory, you know, that's going to be a good ending to that story,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, maybe it'll be a little bit further than Lacey Township next time. We'll see.
Maybe Toy Story 4 will be on that night. You can take it another Pixar film.
Kind of a children's movie.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, you just tear into a lava
destroy
cake.
Destroy our emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Feel sick, go to bed.
Yeah.
Wake up.
I think that's well worth it. Mike?
Hey, knock your socks off. I...
Actually, it's about to get heavy because Jim B is.
Oh no! Me. Okay,
hold on. I'm gonna patch you both in. Hold on.
This is gonna be like Ken Burns Civil War.
Wait, Dudio, how do I put both on?
I think they should both be on. You have to lock one and then.
Oh, lock one. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on a second. Hold on, Jim. Hold on. Hold on, Mike. Where's the lock button?
Next to it. You have to hold the number.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, now you're both on with other Mike, Jason, and Pat.
Hey, guys.
Now you're on with Jim B and Mike B.
J.B., not Jim.
Oh, J.B., I'm sorry.
Is he using voice?
Oh, J.B.
What's up,
J.B.?
All right, you got any words, Mike? You're suddenly getting quiet, Mike. Is the voice intimidating you?
Oh, can you hear me?
No, I meant other Mike.
Oh, no, I'm not intimidating. I'm waiting for him to speak.
Hey, Mike.
How's it going?
This is your best friend, Pat. Do you want to say it again?
Yeah, we're best friends.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, he's really rubbed it in all night, JB, that he has a best friend. And so I'm glad he said it again. So, JB, do you want to say anything specific to Mike Lisk?
To who?
To AP Mike here.
Other Mike.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. I'd like to see him walk, actually.
Oh!
How do we know he could even walk? Can we get a video of Other Mike walking?
I walk all the time. What are you talking about?
How do we know that?
Yeah, prove it.
I live in Bayonne.
Bayonne, I want to see you upload a video to YouTube.
I walked to the bowling alley the other day. Me and Pat went bowling. Did you see
went
my
bowling.
Car, Pat?
Wow.
I walked over there.
Likely story.
I will say that. Thank you. I am your best friend.
In the rain.
I will say that AP...
Not on a sunny day.
AP Mike did bowl a turkey, which is something I've never done. That's three strikes in a row.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Maybe it's just the wording of, you know, a long walk to me sounds like something significant, so, you know. Maybe you should just sort of knock it down to a three-day walk versus somebody who's walked across the country, somebody who's walked the East Coast.
But who's walked across that? Are you thinking of Forrest Gump?
You see these people on the news every once in a while when they finally make it to New York. They came from California. You're doing charity work. Was there a charity involved in your three-day walk?
There was, actually.
I'm going to call it the three-day walk.
Tell me about the charity involved.
All right, okay. Well, that's a good thing.
The long walk.
The three-day walk was a charity event. That's good.
Yep.
I mean, I know people who walk for breast cancer. That's like a three-day walk. They do it on tracks at like high schools.
Yeah.
And they go day and night.
Walk for life.
I mean, you slept that night, right?
No.
Right? You didn't sleep.
You guys kept walking.
So you walked for 3 days without sleeping?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't believe you. You said you did 25 miles a day. You can do more than 25 miles a day.
It was 90 degrees
heat.
You
don't sleep. Think of those people
out there. Sometimes even hotter.
Think about those people walking on tracks in the middle of the night for breast cancer charity.
Yeah, well, like a Blue Oyster Cult.
They take no
tribute
breaks.
Bands playing for them.
What about those old dance marathons where people would just stay up all night long dancing to earn money?
So you're saying you respect a dance marathon more?
Yes,
Mike.
Yeah. Ever see the movie They Shoot Horses? Don't they? Check it out.
Does it surprise you that...
Is that the original Footloose?
Guys,
I think Mike is jealous.
Wait, B-Boys, does it surprise you that Mike is into killing horses here?
Not at all. Not a surprise.
It's the name of the movie. You should check it out.
Well,
honestly, it's expected.
Guys, I got to say, when the next long walk happens, I'm going to be right there on your side. I'm not going to be walking with you, but I'm going to be cheering you on.
Oh, good. I want to see other Mike there, too.
All right. Pick a charity. I'll walk for a charity. Set it up.
Let's figure out a charity. What charity should Mike walk for? 201-332-3484. That's 201-332.
How about the Stop Killing Horses charity?
All right. Let's do it.
Okay.
Right here, right now.
I don't think that's a real charity, guys.
Well, I appreciate you guys calling. The fact that you're both on thebestshow.net on the Slice of Life official Best Show fill-in for this week warms my heart. So thank you for calling in. Yeah, my best friend and my best friend's brother, the B-Boys.
My pleasure. My best friend.
The original B-Boys.
B-Boys, thank you for the call.
Don't be strangers.
Oh, we won't.
All right. Till next time.
Take care now.
Bye. All right, guys, that's our show.
Wow, you really tore into him, Mike. I didn't expect that. I loved every second of that, I gotta say.
I mean, you know,
that was tremendous.
I'm thinking of all the other long walkers out there.
I can't name another long walker
because
I've never cared.
You see them all the time. What about that young girl who just... She took a boat across, you know, the long trip.
Oh, yeah, Greta Thunberg.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and then she spoke at the UN.
These it's real a achievements, different thing. You know, walking for 3 days, you know, it's a personal goal. I could see that, you know, but.
We have about half an hour left in the program. We have to switch gears. We have to turn.
We do?
We have to just.
I thought you said the show was over.
Spice it up, right? Well, okay. It's up to you guys if you want to end it. But I'm thinking I'm going to set the tone right here. Ready? That's 201 Dead Hug.
Be happy?
Yeah, this actually isn't the version I wanted, so.
Can't get the original?
I'm trying.
Oh.
There it is. All right. We can do this, guys. You can help. 201-332-3484. I know you've been wanting to call all night. It's open line, so can you believe it?
So, yeah, so Tom should be back next week. If he's not, we'll be back here for another Slice of Life. Who knows? Have someone else that maybe did some 3-day personal feat, and they can call in, and Mike will belittle them on the air.
Belittle, berate, any of the B
words. It could happen. Anything goes on Slice of Life.
Jason, you mentioned my comedy show briefly in the top of the show.
I did.
And that was my moment to turn it over to you and say congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
And I didn't do it until now.
Oh, thank you.
I apologize. But you accomplished a feat. And that is, this was the best version of a show you've been accumulating and building and tightening for a very long time. Jason Gore's Midlife Crisis at the UCB Hell's Kitchen. Congratulations.
Thank you. And a lot of friends of the show came out. It was so great. Tavy came out. I'm sorry, I'm not remembering the name right off because it was a blur after the show, but some great thoughts from New Zealand were there.
Wow.
They were just happened to be vacationing.
Geneva, too.
Geneva wasn't there.
No?
No, I don't.
No. Oh, she posted.
She posted some
older
Davies
photo.
Post.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was great. I'm waiting to see if it's going to do more there. I hope it does.
It better. And when it does, I'm going to be there for the first night of its first run.
It was great.
Congratulations.
It was great. I'm exhausted.
Yes.
I'm tired today.
I appreciate
today.
You being here tonight. We do have a call, so let's check it
out.
Okay,
let's do it.
Hey, you're on Slice of Life with AP Mike, Jason Gore, and Pat.
Oh my gosh, this is Kaylee from Brooklyn.
Thank you for calling, Kaylee.
I heard it's time for the bad calls, so it's my time.
No.
Did we say that?
We're spicing it up with Bobby McFadden?
McFarren.
McFarren, yeah,
okay. I'm McFadden.
Where was your best friend to save you on that one, huh?
The B-boys are gone. Yeah. Long gone. Kaylee, what was your favorite moment of the show so far?
That really spooky story that was so scary.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even know where that was going, but I am a little freaked out by it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm worried that he's going to be in my car.
I think he's still digging up that graveyard.
All of this is public record by now.
I don't even know where to start looking for that in public records.
That's the mystery.
Do I have to do a Freedom of Information Act on that? What am I even going to look up? Home Depot? Backyard?
It'll be on
Lead Casket?
On an Unsolved Murder podcast in the next 2 years.
It's creepy,
or something.
Man.
Yeah.
Do you have a scary story for us? Maybe we'll shift gears here.
Well, the kids
are all in bed. Now we can do the real scary story.
The original topic was personal mysteries. So if you have a scary story or a personal mystery, Kaylee.
Oh, so like I actually had to have something to say?
No, you can just call and you can plug.
Oh, speaking of mysteries, though, I want to thank Mike because I'm a member of his esteemed book club. And
what did he send you?
I don't have it on me right now. I can't remember the title. It's like a Long Island true crime.
Oh yeah. Book. She wanted the true crime stuff. I think the unfortunate Long Island serial killer, which is the. The acronym is my last name.
No.
Right up my alley for being born in Long Island and loving crimes.
Is that why you bought the book originally?
No, I mean, I got some good reviews. What's it called? It's called something like Lost Girl?
Lacey Township.
I can't remember the
name. I told him to send me something like gothy, and I guess that's the most goth book he owned.
Do you remember the inscription he wrote you?
No, I should have brought it with me. I don't know. Probably something really nice, like about.
No, I think I wrote about the unfortunate fact that it's the acronym for the Long Island serial killer is my last name. Mm. So yeah, and so in the book, instead of saying Long Island serial killer, they keep saying Lisk. Yeah, so it was very troubling. Nice. It was trouble. Very troubling reading that book.
Yeah.
Did it make you believe you did it?
Well, No. I don't get at that way very much.
Well,
I'm a Jersey Shore guy.
Only walking along.
Yeah. So Jersey Shore. All those shark attacks from 1918 that inspired Jaws. That's all, Mike.
I'd like to hear some reviews. I've sent out a fair amount of books, and I haven't heard a lot of feedback.
Has Mike sent you a book? 201-332-3484. What was the book and what did he write? 201 Dead Hug.
Can they leave reviews on Bandcamp? They can't they?
Well, no, not on there.
At apmike.bandcamp.com.
I've sent out tweets and some people have talked about it, but I'm sometimes I'll get a book and I don't read it right away, so I understand that's part of it. But I'd like to hear some feedback, whether people liked it, whether they didn't like it, Just curious.
I'm a big book buyer and then not reader.
I
think that's everybody. I have more books than I've read, so that's not unusual.
Yeah.
But
I have a giant stack of Greek tragedies that I need to get through.
That stuff's a little
that's
dry.
That's my thing, I guess.
What's the last thing you read?
Well, it was the Agamemnon.
Oh,
I just did that one.
Oh, okay. What's inspiring this classic Greek tragedy reading?
Well, actually, back in middle school, I wanted to pivot from doing art to doing acting, so I was trying out monologues, and the first monologue I got was from Agamemnon, and it was like this crazy one where Clytemnestra was like screaming and like going insane, and it was great, but I was terrible. Like, I flaked out in the middle of the performance on stage. It was horrible.
Oh,
scarring.
Okay.
Life. And so I guess that is my past trauma.
Okay.
That's fair.
So you're trying to get over it by revisiting it and, all right. That makes sense.
Well, you also are more recently back in the States. You were in Japan for a long time.
Yes.
And you are back on the FMU airways with a new hit show that has the word hit in it, right?
Yes.
It's Hits from the Crypt. And that has heard,
wow,
that has heard Saturday evenings, / Sunday mornings from midnight to 3 a.m. on the Hot 91 FM.
Yeah.
The 91.1 and only. Which nobody says besides me. Yeah, well, I wanted to plug the show because you're back on the air and congratulations. Sorry, I almost cut you off. I put someone on hold.
Wow.
We are taking a couple more calls. If you wanted to get in on the phone, do it now at 201-332-3384.
Please tell a scary story, actually. Scary.
Yeah, we'll take a scary story or a personal mystery in the last final calls of the night. But Kaylee, you have any events coming up, any DJ nights, anything going on you want to plug?
No, all I do is sit in my house and listen, wait for your show to come back on.
What show?
Every week. You're the best
show. Prove it all night.
Well, not, no, actually.
Okay, that's fair. No, it's fair. no, it's totally fair. Tom hopefully will be back.
Yeah.
Tom will hopefully be back. He's working on a mayonnaise commercial in Nebraska, and he'll be back hopefully next Tuesday night.
It's gonna be a big mayonnaise commercial.
I love you guys. Have a great night.
Bye, Kaylee.
Bye, Kaylee.
Slice of Life.
It's Hellman's. We can say it's Hellman's.
We can say it's Hellman's. That's all we can reveal. It's Slice of Life. You're on with Jason Gore, Mike Lisk, and Pat.
Burn.
Yeah.
Hey, Slice of Life.
Hey, who's this? Where are you calling from?
This is Miles calling from North Carolina, Raleigh.
Raleigh.
Raleigh. Revving it up in Raleigh.
Raleigh.
What you driving down there? Revving it up. You're on Revving It Up with AP Mike, Jason Gore, and Pat.
No, that's almost as good as Slice of Life.
Heading over to Rockingham. You're close to Rockingham, right? That's pretty close.
A mystery to me.
Oh, sorry.
What is happening, Pat?
Sorry.
For the love of God.
Raleigh, are you still there?
Yeah, still here.
Okay. Jason, could you repeat that question?
No, I'm not.
Okay. The phones are hard. It's hard to read white text.
We don't have to do that.
On a light gray.
Yeah, now he's got a thing with the flashing that he can't let it keep ringing. People know they can let it ring. But he's got to jump in there.
Because they're going to hang up.
I don't care.
No, hang up.
Yeah. People know that they can let it ring.
Yes.
All right. It was a 402 number.
Okay. These are final calls. 402, do not call back.
No.
You will not get through.
Everybody, I successfully put everyone on hold.
Okay.
Raleigh, what are you revving up?
What is 402?
We're revving up a lack of understanding on how Foxfire works.
Foxfire?
Yeah. When I was a kid, I was exposed to those books, the Foxfire series of books about mountain living, how to make instruments, but my grandfather would tell me about Foxfire in Virginia, and he later showed it to me, but he told me about all of his experiences with it, and to my understanding, it has something to do with moisture and moonlight and gravitational pull, but it ends up looking like ghostly apparitions floating through the air. That's something I've never quite seen any kind of scientific explanations of. Yeah.
And what causes it, or people don't know?
I really don't know. My limited understanding of it is when you go out into the moonlight, it captures the humidity in the air, the moisture in the air, and as you see the moisture being like pulled through the wind, it catches the moonlight in some degree. That is a very broken understanding of it. I'm sure there's a lot more.
And it's called Foxfire?
Foxfire?
That's what it's called?
When we were kids, I was like taken out late at night by my grandfather, and walking up the side of a large mountainous hill, we turned around and looked back down the hill, and you could see our feet, our footprints in the moist grass, kind of like illuminated by the moonlight. Hmm. And that was not so much of a revelation, but he claimed that when he was a young man and he would go hunting at night for raccoons, he would see like moisture flying through the air like fireballs, and that is what's known as foxfire.
Hmm.
So according to Wikipedia, foxfire, also called fairy fire, is the bioluminescence created by some species of fungi present in decaying wood.
Okay.
Fungi. That's news to me.
Okay.
Interesting.
Foxfire!
Solved another mystery.
There we go.
They're like Sherlock Holmes.
That's what we do.
Up in his piece.
You can see some weird stuff. Foxfire.
That's what we do on Slice of Life.
Foxfire.
Well, thank you for the call. I remember hearing about that as a kid, but I never experienced it.
I never heard of it before.
Well, it also helps if you're on shrooms, right, caller?
Yikes. I'll jump off and let you guys catch a few more calls. And hey, Mike, good luck with that long walk coming up.
Okay.
Yeah, that horse thing.
Okay, he's going out laughing.
Foxfire.
Leave him laughing.
You can't call up enough. Foxfire.
3 day
last
walk.
Caller on the on.
I can do that on a treadmill, right?
I don't think so.
Last at a Nordic track.
Final
Nordic
call
track.
Tonight. Final call tonight.
Final call on the slice of life.
Hello. Hey, this is Mark calling from Newark.
Hey,
Mark
Newark.
From
Newark. Brick City.
Newark, Delaware.
Dope.
No. Yes.
Do you guys have a name?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Just Newark.
When you're calling a New Jersey-based show
South
and
show,
you say you're calling from
City.
Newark, please follow it with Delaware.
No. I'm calling from Newark.
Newark.
Not Newark.
Sir,
we say it differently over here.
It's spelled the same, right?
Sure.
It is spelled the same.
Yes, okay.
But you say Newark.
Newark. Yeah, not Newark.
So Newark.
Here we just say Nork. N-O-R-K, Nork. That's how we pronounce it.
It was W-N-R-K here, an AM radio station.
W-N-R-K.
Which was a great station to listen to. But
yeah.
I have one for the topic.
Sure.
Go for it.
Favorite part
it
of
is,
Joker.
Go
ahead, whenever you're ready.
Have not seen it.
Okay. That's our show.
And that's it. Good night.
No, please.
Yeah. What's your personal mystery?
It is a personal mystery. Kind of a scary story, maybe. It happened early 90s.
Okay.
And I was out for a hike with some friends in the woods. And is that just like any other hike in the woods? Except, the sun was coming up. And it was early spring. And we were out walking in the woods, and we went down this creek that was in the woods. Creek's about maybe 30 feet wide, a couple feet deep. And there was the sun was coming up. It was around May, and it was like a humid early spring morning. And there was a mist coming down the creek, like this fog.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped in the beach of the creek and the side of the creek and watching it. And I looked down as the fog was coming up against the beach. It was sort of lapping at it like waves. It looked really cool. And then I noticed these little, like, dime-sized tornadoes or whirlwinds of spinning in the fog.
Hmm.
So, and it was all really, it was really pretty. Like I said, it was a nice spring morning. And then we noticed that there were some denser parts of the fog on the creek.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the denser parts, like, moved past us, and I swear, I think we all saw this at the same time. I don't think any one person said, look, do you see that? And then it was suggested, suggested that they saw it. I saw like a wagon wheel, like in the mist.
Okay.
Like a wagon wheel.
Hold that
and
thought.
I saw.
I don't have it queued up. I don't have it queued up. Never mind. Go ahead.
Well, we're going to get some background music.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the song Wagon Wheel.
So you're saying it was more than fog, that there was some sort of, but just the wagon wheel? What else did you see?
I saw the wagon.
Okay.
And a horse.
Really?
And like a guy with a wide brimmed hat.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. And then maybe sort of some Native American.
And they're floating, these images are floating in the fog.
Yes. They're sort of made out of the fog.
Okay.
You know, it's like a stereotypical kind of ghostly image.
Now, were you drinking or?
Yeah, how high were you?
any stimulants?
Three of us had been, we had been up all night.
That didn't answer the question.
Well, no. No, I mean, we're looking for a source for hallucinating. Being up all night could possibly inspire, but you're saying.
Three of us, there was more than one of you.
Yeah.
You had taken what?
And you
had taken, when taken LSD the night before.
Well, there.
Oh.
But don't. But that.
Oh, but no, the LSD's totally out of my system in the woods by the creek with the fog.
One of us hadn't, though.
And they saw it?
Yeah, and they saw.
They were 100% being like, "Yeah, I see the wagon."
Uh-huh. Yeah,
this
is
great.
He's still talking about it to this day, and it.
Yeah, because he still wants to like be your friend. Like, hey guys, remember that time we were so high that we saw the wagon?
No, I tell you, it was. We all saw it. I think I don't.
So wait, so was the fog over
it could have been
the
mutual
creek?
Mass hallucination? I guess.
Was all of this happening in the creek?
Yes, it was happening like floating by above the creek. And then as they reached, like there was a part where the trees broke and the sun was coming through. And as they passed that spot, they sort of twisted and kind of went up into the sky and dissipated. I guess the sun was burning off the fog.
Was there any sound? Sounds accompanying
The birds chirping and the water going by.
Nobody seemed to be
Didn't look at us or anything. That was the other thing. They didn't, turn or notice that we were standing there. It was like watching a film.
And where was this again?
This is in Newark, Delaware.
This is in Newark,
Clay Creek.
Okay.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
I'll chalk it up to the LSD.
One guy was sober.
Yeah.
But the people I know who have done LSD never had anything that vivid. You know, they usually just talk about how colors would, sort of extend.
Right, and
their
it was totally different than any other kind of, it wasn't like the things are pulsing or, mm-hmm. Colors, and it was actual figures mm-hmm. in the mist.
Yeah.
Okay. And we it was just never, I don't know what that was. I mean, I didn't really believe in an afterlife before, and then after seeing that, I was like, I don't know what that was.
I think I've talked about my one sort of ghostly experience was that, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I just got a sense that somebody had come into the room and was sitting on the edge of my bed at the, mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. it was a strong feeling. I'm looking there and I'm thinking, it's dark, it's pitch black,
mm-hmm.
but I just had this sense, I know the person who I thought it was, it was somebody I knew. So I thought she had come into the room somehow and she was sitting on the edge of the bed.
And she was like,
and I was like frozen for a while.
Uh-huh.
There was no, I didn't call to her or anything. I'm just sort of like freaked out. How'd she get into my apartment?
Did she say anything?
No. There was no verbal thing. And then it just sort of, I sort of became aware that it was all in my head,
mm-hmm.
that I'm not seeing anything. And then I wasn't seeing or sensing that there was a person there anymore.
I think I've told my story, but I'm not entirely sure if I have. Mm-hmm. I was living in Chapel Hill, North Carolina in 1999. On East Rosemary Street, and I was living in a house that was rented out, the Lutheran church across the street would rent it out to college kids, and I was just subletting a room for the summer, sorry. And I didn't have a job, so I just kind of laid about, played guitar, and my upstairs roommate Jenny, her boyfriend, I think his name was Matt, stayed over the night before, and I remember it was like I woke up late that day. It was probably 1:30 in the afternoon. And I would go to our shared bathroom upstairs, and there's a man standing there in a full black suit, a white shirt, black tie.
I remember this story.
Standing, just staring at the church ahead. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm sorry, Matt. I didn't know you were still here. And,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Wait, what do you mean?
Wasn't him?
Wasn't Matt. So in the maybe 15 seconds it took for me to get back to my bedroom door and be like, that's not Matt, and turn around and go back in, there was nobody there.
He was gone. Wow.
So you were alone.
Mm-hmm.
And this was on the outside steps of the church?
No, this was right across. So he was facing the church looking through the bathroom window.
Who was this?
The person. Huh?
You just saw the back.
No,
of the
I saw his face. I saw everything.
What did he look like?
He was like a young man with brunette hair.
Mm-hmm.
Staring straight ahead.
Could he have been a plumber?
He wasn't dressed like a plumber.
He was in a bathroom.
And this house is so old and so creaky.
What the heck?
My phone just fell out.
Right,
that was the
weird.
Ghost.
All right. Moving objects.
The plumber would just let himself in? Is that what?
No, but I mean, I would have heard him walk away.
Yeah. All right. No, I remember you telling that story. Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah, Mike, I thought you were going to tell the story about those. Weren't there a couple mystery hipsters that came into your living room and you woke up, you're sleeping on the couch or something?
I did figure that story out. It's a neighbor.
Oh, it was the neighbors.
And the neighbor, I've never confronted this person. I saw him and I had a little back and forth. I did find out that this neighbor, he's a young guy. I think he's in his early 20s. And he's got a mentally challenged, and he's got some mental health issues. My father had already had a conversation with his father, and he sort of alerted him to that. I didn't know about this. And it was sort of a combination where my brother, for whatever reason, wouldn't lock doors. He felt like he lived in some place where it wasn't necessary to lock your doors. So he never locked the garage door, in the backyard garage door.
At his house in Jersey, he felt perfectly safe.
Where my father still lives in Howell, yeah.
Okay.
And so he never locked the doors.
Is Howell safe?
Well,
by the way,
they just found a body.
He's of a generation that didn't do
well,
that.
Well, no, he was, you know, a couple years older than me.
Yeah.
So
I thought you said your father.
No, my brother. Technically, I considered it my brother's house. It was my brother's house. He ended up buying it. So he was living there with my father. And so, you know, he's running the thing. And so I think, you know, why they would, I think there was like a little rift with my brother and them where there was all this water coming into the backyard. They were draining the pool. And my brother complained about all the water coming. You know, they basically ran a hose into our backyard to drain their pool. So there was all this water coming into our mm-hmm. backyard. And I guess my brother had some, you know, just basically said, what are you doing? You know, and maybe confronted him or his father about it. So I guess maybe in their minds, they thought my brother was a bad guy or something. So maybe they were creeping around at night. I mean, that's still creepy. I mean, it was late at night.
Creepy crawlies, huh?
It was late at night when they entered the house.
Nope.
I mean, I had fallen asleep on the couch. And so it was like after 11. I had the TV on and lights,
mm-hmm.
so they knew somebody was in a room, and yet they came in. I mean, and they were sitting there when I woke up. And you know, have you ever had an experience where you wake up,
in,
and there's two down. Strangers sitting right across?
What did you
from
say
me?
To them?
Well, here's the thing: I was so stymied that I was like, in my head, I just assumed. I mean, it makes no sense. I assume my brother knew who these people were.
Right.
I saw the open doors.
Right.
And I figured my brother was outside, and these were friends of his that had just come into the house. I got up and used the bathroom. And when I came out of the bathroom, they were gone. They didn't close the doors.
Oh, my God. And they still live there?
Yeah. And here's this is ongoing. This is going to continue. Now that I know he's got disabilities, I got to deal with him. You know, this is years ago that happened.
Uh-huh.
But one day, you know, it's weird down there. You know, you very rarely see your neighbors, you know, mm-hmm. people come and go and, you know, you don't really see people. But one day I see this young girl in a car. And I'm like, oh, she must be waiting for the guy. So I was going to sort of have a conversation then. So I'm waiting there for him to come to the car. Then I see her on her phone, and she must be calling him,
mm-hmm.
saying, see, I've sort of turned the tables on them. Because I could have reported this to the police. I mean, I didn't do anything.
Right.
But I figured out who it is. So now they must think, I know who it is. I know it's them.
Were they stealing anything from the house?
No.
Just walk through the house?
They didn't even walk through the
bathroom?
House.
They just sat down?
They just sat down because they saw that I was sleeping. So maybe it was like a little, they were sort of a dare to see how long they can sit with a guy who's sleeping on a couch. No, it's weird.
It's just to freak you out.
Well, it freaked me out.
Like I said, it's, you know, and I couldn't say anything to my brother
mm-hmm.
because my brother had a temper
mm-hmm.
and he would have like freaked. And the weird thing is, I remember I was sleeping upstairs when he went downstairs first and I left everything on because I still in my head was thinking my brother knew these people. He was outside. So I left everything on. The TV was still on. The light was on. The doors were wide open. So I hear him go down in the morning and he's like, oh, Mike must have been on a tear last night. He left the doors open. So he just kind of like, he brushed it off as if,
It was you.
I did something stupid.
Right, right.
And left doors open.
Right.
He never even asked me about it again.
Wow.
So
and you just left it at that.
I left it at that. But like I said, I saw this girl, and so they're aware. Now I've got like something on them. So when they see me, I think they're a little rattled, like, what's he going to do, you know? So I saw him again one time. His family, they've got a landscaping business or something. Uh-huh. And they'll park their cars in front of my father's house. It's just annoying, you know? It's not like we need the room, but it's like, don't park in front of other people's house. You know, just, you know, keep your cars. And they've got places that they can park in.
Right.
So it was irritating me. Sometimes I'd come home, there's like two or three cars parked in front of my father's house, and I'm like, what the heck are they doing?
They're running their business out of the neighborhood?
Yeah, I mean, I think they don't do that as much. I don't see the trucks that they have like a pesticide. I think that it's a pesticide part of it. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't seen as many vehicles there, but you know, after one night, I mean, I put a note on one of the cars. I got ticked off. I wrote a note, you know. And then I saw the son, the guy who I'm pretty sure is the guy who came into the house. I see him driving by, and I kind of waved him down. And he's just sort of like, he's got this look on his face like, oh, no, he's going to say something, you know. But I didn't even mention that incident. Mm-hmm. I talked about the cars. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, can you not park in front of my father's house? You know, it's kind of annoying. And then that was it, you know.
What did he say? He was like, okay.
Yeah, cool. No, it was, we didn't have a conversation. I basically said my thing. He said, okay, and that was it, you
right.
know. So I still haven't, argue with you. I still haven't had this confrontation
but it's coming.
With him or his father. I'm hoping that He's his behavior is under control.
Mike,
you know?
And he's here tonight. here he comes.
Here he comes. Yeah, Mike's weird neighbor, but but yeah, I mean, I hope it doesn't escalate into anything. My father's down there by himself now.
Yeah.
So
he's not really alone they're popping in all the time.
I told him that after my brother died, I told him this story. I never mentioned it to my brother because I knew he would flip out.
And what did your dad say about?
Well, now my father's like, he's gone totally paranoid.
Oh, no.
So he's always worried about whether the doors are locked.
Right.
If I go out in the garage, did you lock the door? So he's gone that way, which is, you know, unfortunate, but. You know, I keep the doors
locked. It's probably
locked.
Not a bad idea to keep those doors
locked. No,
yeah. Safe than sorry.
No, yeah. I mean, I lock them up. You know, I mean, it's like even before my brother died, I was locking the doors. I'm like, why did he have this thing about leaving doors unlocked? I never understood that. There's a personal mystery for you.
Lock them up.
People who don't lock their doors, you know? It's like, I don't know if he's trying to make a statement. I trust everybody around me. This is a safe neighborhood.
That did not work.
It didn't work. Well, nothing happened. My wallet was sitting right.
Yeah.
They could have taken my wallet. They didn't do that.
They probably put more money into your wallet. That's the big surprise.
I think they took his wallet.
No. Yeah, there was nothing missing.
That's incredible.
I didn't take anything
and replace it with an exact replica of it?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, you know.
But I do get the creeps, you know, at night. If I'm down
creeped
there,
out.
You know, is he still like a peeper? Is that how?
I don't know.
He peeped first, and then he tried the door, and he opened the door. I don't know.
Is that that how it usually goes? Like you peep first, and then
you
check
the
door.
Like
no, I'm not saying from first, Mike. So in your experience as a peeper, no. Caller, thank you so much for the call.
All right, great to talk to you guys.
Take care.
This concludes the Slice of Life program. The program. Right?
Yeah, no,
we're pretty much at the end here.
No more calls?
There was maybe a hotline caller going to call, but if you're listening to my voice, that time would be now if you have the hotline. Otherwise, we're going to say sayonara for tonight.
Okay.
I had an idea for a dumb thing, if you'll humor me on it.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a quickie.
Those are never quickie. Okay.
Your own personal... Oh. It's fine. I was too early. I was too early.
What?
Okay, here we go. Want to count me in?
No.
Okay. Oh, I missed it. All right, I'll take the next one. I'm just going to go back a little bit.
It'll be quick.
Your own. Oh, no, I missed it again.
It'll be quick, guys. It'll be fast. Don't.
All right, here we go.
We're going to do it.
All right, this time I'm doing it. Ready? Here we go. Your own personal mysteries. Something you remember from life. Something that scared you. Your own personal mysteries. Something you remember from life. Something that scared you. Feeling unknown, and you're all alone. Flesh and bone by the telephone. Lift up the receiver, I'll go press the lever to put you on the air. Well, I only had time to write half of it.
Why did you wait till the end of the show for this, though?
That would have been a good way to start it. Hindsight, we wouldn't have heard that dumb, scary story.
Can you edit and put it at the beginning?
Yeah, I can edit.
No,
it
no,
you don't have to do
we're not re-editing another
reach
episode.
Out and call us next time. That's it, folks. That's the show.
Thank you for listening to Slice of Life. As we said before, Tom should be back next week. If he's not, we'll be back here with another edition of Slice of Life.
Yes.
Tom's
rapping on a mayonnaise commercial.
Yes.
All we can say is it's Hellman's.
It's Hellman's.
And he has an NDA. What is it?
NDA.
NDA, yeah.
Yeah. Non-disclosure agreement.
Yes. So, best.
Which we pretty much just broke.
No. All we can say is it's Hellman's.
Right.
Brings out the best.
Right.
So, he'll be back with Tales to Regale You and AP Mike.
No plugs.
Nothing.
I got the best show. I'll be here next week.
Jason Gore's Midlife Crisis should and will get a run at UCB.
Thank you.
And we'll all go see it.
Yeah. And I do have a Characters Welcome show on November 14th at UCB Hell's Kitchen, 7:30 p.m. You can find out more at jason-gore.com.
There you go.
Slice of life, my friends.
And although Tom isn't here, please support the best show on Patreon. That's patreon.com/thebestshow.
Yes.
And you get bonus content and more. Go to patreon.com and find out how. Plenty of archives, 24/7, will entertain you as well.
All of Meet My Friends the Friends.
Yes, Meet My Friends the Friends are up there. Just please go to thebestshow.net and rate, review, and all that stuff. This is Slice of Life, the official fill-in for The Best Show. And, we're hitting the post. Good night.